O'Connell.
And this is Jonah Treeblosser.
Welcome back to another edition of Radio Rotary, made possible by Rotary District 7210.
Each week, we chat with your neighbors about great things happening in your community and around the world. People living by Rotary's motto of service above self.
And Jonah, today, our special guest is Larry Hertz, ace reporter from the Poughkeepsie Journal. Hi, Larry. How are you?
Good morning. How are you?
Good, good, good. Now, you've been with the Poughkeepsie Journal for quite a while. Tell us about a little bit about your background.
Yeah, I came to the Journal in 1976, 4th of July, 1976. I remember that.
I knew it had some significance.
I was a sports reporter. I really decided I was working for a weekly paper doing everything, taking pictures, covering crime, covering
in the area for one of the weeklies?
In Rhinebeck. And I did that for a year. I did it for 51 weeks. I know it was 51 weeks because I didn't get any vacation when I left. And I covered sports for 2 years at the Poughkeepsie Journal.
You are a good journalist. Can I just jump in here? Because you remember detail, facts, and stats.
I have some doubts about whether Larry Hertz really is a journalist because he's not wearing a fedora with the press card in the band. And remember all the old Superman TV shows?
Or big glasses.
Or big glasses. You know,
yeah. I'm very
Clark Kent would have
with
fedora.
The press. That's and it had press. Press in there.
We don't do that anymore, John.
No, but you do. What you do cover is you do cover the courthouse are kind of known on the street as the crime beat.
Right, yeah. There's two reporters that cover crime as it happens, when a crime happens and when somebody makes an arrest. My job is once somebody is arrested and indicted for the crime and it goes to the court through the court system, then I follow the case through the court system.
Do you have a special seat? Dominic Dune has a special seat.
Will you explain who Dominic Dune is?
Oh, he is a writer. He's an activist, mm-hmm. and he covers he covers high-profile murders and things like that. I think it generated from his daughter having been tragically murdered. And he was one of the main people that covered the O.J. Simpson, for example. Anyway, he always has a special seat in the courtroom.
When there's no jury.
Larry, do you have a special seat?
When there's no jury, the judges let me sit in the jury box because it's closer, I can hear better.
Is that right?
So I sit in the jury box. But obviously, when it's covering a trial, as I am right now, I sit in the front row.
So you can
no special seat.
Now, you know, Larry, you've got a tough job because you have to get the facts out to the readership of the Poughkeepsie Journal, a very distinguished and well-respected newspaper in Dutchess County and entire Hudson Valley. But at the same time, there's a balance here of trying to protect the defendant's rights and not prejudice him in the eyes of the public. How do you balance that?
Yeah, well, with a trial, it's pretty easy because you have direct and then you have cross-examination, and you want to just cover what kind of questions the prosecutor is asking.
But what about leading up to the trial?
I try. It's difficult because, by definition, almost, the defense doesn't really want to talk to me. As a rule, the defense attorneys will just say, my client is innocent, they don't want to comment beyond that. The prosecutors, there's all that, as there's a lot of discovery that the prosecutors provide right away. There's the billet. Once somebody's indicted, there's a bill of particulars. Even before that, during an arrest, there's something called an accusatory instrument. And those are things that the police and the prosecutors lay out. Here's what we think this guy did.
And don't they have to disclose a certain amount of that to the defense?
Right. Before the trial, before the trial, they have to disclose what they have to the defense. So all of that discovery that the prosecutor is providing is public, and so I have access to all of that. I always call the defense attorney and let them know, here's what I have, would you like to comment, and give them the opportunity. It's rare that they do. Some attorneys more than others will say, just sort of a boilerplate statement that my client is denying all these allegations. But it's something that you have to, you have to let the readers know that you've made that
attempt to get
the other side from the defense attorney.
Well, Larry Hertz of the Poughkeepsie Journal, who has the crime beat, let's talk a little bit more about your background. Did you have a degree in journalism before you
I majored in English. at Cornell University.
You were an English major?
Yes, I was. My father
I didn't know you were in the military.
My father was an, my father was an English teacher, English professor at Lehigh University.
Right.
And when I told him I wanted to major in English, I thought he'd be proud of me. And he said, well, what could he possibly do with an English degree? But,
That's what my father said to me. He's a history professor.
But I was on the school newspaper and just really enjoyed you know, knowing that every day I don't know what I'm going to be doing that day.
Right.
And I think that's the selling point of this job, certainly not the money.
Mm-hmm. Now, writing for the Poughkeepsie Journal, the Crime Beat, is that all you've ever done? I saw you did some sports reporting.
No, I started the first couple of years I was at the Journal. I was a sports reporter. I covered, actually, Giant fans might remember the famous fumble when Joe Pisarcik and Larry Zonka tried to. I happened to be an Eagle fan. I normally didn't cover the Giants, but the sports editor said, why don't you go down and cover the Giants-Eagles game? And that was like the most ignominious game that the Giants ever played, probably. Mm.
You know, we've had some very big criminal trials here in Dutchess County and some very strange and wonderful personalities. What was the very first big criminal trial you covered as a Crime Beat reporter for the Poughkeepsie Journal?
The first trial, there was a gentleman by the name of Albert Fentress.
Who, oh, yeah.
Was he killed and cannibalized a teenage
boy. That's right. And he comes up for parole
and,
every so often.
Yeah. He was
And this was in Dutchess County.
This was in the city of Poughkeepsie in 1979.
Mm-hmm.
And I had just switched over to news.
I wasn't born yet, so.
I know.
I'm a little behind on the story.
I had just switched over to news from sports, and I covered the arrest, and he was found insane and was never prosecuted criminally for it, and he was put in a mental institution. And so every 2 years he has the right to to petition that he's been cured and that he should come out. So I've covered from the start of that case right up through now.
So you continue?
I have continued to follow that case for,
I have to tell you a funny story. Not that this is a funny story, but a not involved with the case, but a sideline of the case. My wife and I moved up to Red Hook in Dutchess County in 1979 from New York City, and we're unpacking our apartment, and I go down to get the local paper, and there's the screaming,
that was the first thing you
the
saw.
Screaming headlines about the Fentress case.
And
my wife says, what did you bring us to? You said it was quiet in the country. And some of the other infamous cases that you worked with?
When, I guess we all remember Tawana Brawley, 1987.
Right.
Oh, yes.
I covered that, and then 10 years, almost 10 years to the day after, it happened over the Thanksgiving weekend when Tawana said that she had been raped. And then 10 years later, Steve Pagonis, who was an assistant DA at the time of the Tawana Brawley case, was accused by Reverend Al Sharpton, Alton Maddox, of committing this rape. And so he sued them for slander.
Right.
And so the trial, as you know, Jonah, things take a while to wind through the court system. And it was 10 years later, almost to the day, that trial of Sharpton, Maddox, and C. Vernon Mason began. And I covered that trial. It was the longest trial I ever covered. It started right after Thanksgiving, and it ended on July 31st of the following year.
Now, I have a question. When something, a big case like that goes to trial, do they meet every day? Are you in court every single day? Well, are you in court every Tuesday, and then you go and you write the column, or you write your report, you file your story the next day? How does it work?
No, that trial, I mean, there were days when, because of the histrionics of the people involved, where court was adjourned because there were there was not enough decorum in the courtroom. So there were days, and there were days where motions were filed that had to be decided, so the court proceedings were suspended. But every day, I mean, that case was covered by Radio New Zealand. I was interviewed by CNN, BBC.
Other journalists are interviewing journalists?
Well, for that case, they wanted to interview me because I was the only local guy who knew, who had been there 10 years before,
So you have all the background.
Right. So they wanted to talk to me about that. And my brother lives in Denmark, and I was being interviewed on BBC, and my brother heard me being interviewed in Copenhagen. But so that was a very big case, and it just went on and on. We were all really sick of it by the time it ended.
Now, Larry Hertz of the Poughkeepsie Journal, you said you were an English major. You're not an attorney, are you? So, I mean, do you ever find the legal concepts, foreign or difficult to understand? Or have you observed so many cases that you're an old hand at it now?
Well, I mean, now, almost everybody in the world is younger than I am, but my editors are...
not me.
You know, and... So there's sometimes when I'll make a reference to a Wade notice or a Huntley notice or something like that, where those are legal documents that I have. I've picked up the basics of it. And the great thing about being in the courthouse and knowing everybody, I've known most of the lawyers, is that if I don't know something, there's just a lot of people I can ask. There's judges, there's attorneys, and I can say, well, what do you mean by this? You know, it's not difficult if I am stuck, if there's something, some motion that's being filed that I don't understand, the legal ramifications of it or case law about it or something, it's easy enough to pick up the phone and ask somebody.
And we'll find out more about Larry Hertz and covering famous criminal trials here in the Hudson Valley on behalf of the Poughkeepsie Journal in just a moment. But first, let me remind our listeners they're in tune with Radio Rotary on Hudson Valley Talk Radio and around the world by podcast on iTunes and at www.radiorotary.org. My name is Jonah Treboas, and my co-host is the lovely Sarah O'Connell, our very special guest, Poughkeepsie Journal ace crime reporter Larry Hertz. And Sarah, tell us, who brings us Radio Rotary this week?
Well, Jonah, Radio Rotary is brought to us by Rotary International, Rotary District 7210, and the Rotary Clubs of Poughkeepsie Arlington, Brewster, Cairo, Congress Valley Cottage, Fishkill, Goshen Highland, Hyde Park, Kingston, and Kingston Sunrise.
And we'll be back with more of Radio Rotary after these important messages.
Could you dedicate yourself to a worthy cause? Could you go the distance to keep a child healthy? Could you travel the world to help eliminate polio? Could you? A Rotary member could. Rotary continues its efforts to end this crippling disease worldwide, providing children with needed vaccinations. All it takes is one person to make a difference. Will you help change the world? For more information, go to Rotary.org. Rotary. Humanity in motion.
For information about Rotary in the Hudson Valley, visit www.rotarydistrict7210.org. Jettelson Giordano & Siegel, CPA PC, is a full-service accounting, tax, and business consulting firm.
JGS specializes in business succession planning, including ownership transition, management transition, as well as family and non-family transitions.
The JGS staff works alongside you to solve the problems of your specific business or personal situation.
JGS is conveniently located on Route 211 in Middletown, New York. To learn more, please contact JGS at 845-692-9500 or visit them on the web at www.jgspc.com.
Jettelson, Giordano, and Siegel, your essential partner in business.
What would you do if a friend, coworker, or a loved one collapsed? Calling 911 alone will not be enough. Over 1,000 people a day die from sudden cardiac arrest. Many can be saved with early intervention. HealthSave offers CPR courses on a daily basis at our facility in Rockland County. We'll come to your home or business if you prefer. Call us toll-free at 877-277-6233. That's 877-277-6233. Or visit our website at healthsave.com. That's HEALTHSAV.com. Leave the E off of save for emergencies. CPR training is for everyone. Learn CPR. Become a lifesaver.
Hudson Valley Talk Radio and online at HudsonValleyTalkRadio.com.
Hi, I'm Sarah O'Connell, and I want to welcome you back to this edition of Radio Rotary. I'm joined by my co-host, Jonah Treboisser, and we are having a fascinating discussion today with Larry Hertz, who is the ace reporter from the Poughkeepsie Journal. I said that for your benefit.
The ace crime reporter.
Yes. He covers the courthouse, known on the street as the Crime Beat, but he also has another column. We were talking off mic about people being in the criminal justice system, prosecutors, police people, that after a while, it would be hard not to be affected by that piece of society and the environment that you're in and becoming
right.
jaded or cynical and, you know, what your outlook is on the world in general. And Larry, how do you combat that with your other article?
Yeah, the column that I write, it only appears once a week on Tuesdays. It's about people who make the community better, people who see a need, to see people who are in trouble and do something about it. And fortunately,
selflessly, out of the kindness of their heart,
right.
or
I mean, there's just, and you know, not-for-profit agencies where everybody's making virtually no money, but they're in the business because they love
love
what they're doing. Yeah, they could all be making a lot more money in the private sector doing something else, but this is what they do, and I just really admire that. And fortunately, I think we're really blessed in the Hudson Valley to have a lot of people who do things like that. And so I don't have I never have trouble, you know, coming up with ideas for my column. It's just, like, I just see and hear a lot of things, a lot of nice things.
And what day does it appear? It's a weekly column.
Yeah, it's a weekly column. It appears on Tuesdays.
Tuesdays in the Poughkeepsie Journal.
Right.
Larry, let's talk a bit about the future of the newspaper industry. You know, those of us who grew up with newspapers, I remember in the college and high school, they used to give you a cheap subscription to the newspaper of your choice. I still read two newspapers every day, the New York Times and the Poughkeepsie Journal. But you hear that the new generation, the young people today, are not buying newsprint. They're looking at it online. Newspapers are going out of business. When I was growing up, New York City had, I think, three or four morning papers, three or four afternoon papers. We had a great chain of weekly papers, the Taconic Press, that went out of business, which used to be owned, here's the trivia, folks, used to be owned by the son of the Wicked Witch of the West.
Hamilton, Missouri.
Ham and Helen Missouri.
Great actress Margaret Hamilton was his father.
She lived in Sharon, Connecticut, by the way.
Lovely lady. I met her. But anyway, let's talk about the future of newspaper business. What's happening with newsprint?
Well, there's two sides to that. Our circulation of the newsprint version of the Poughkeepsie Journal is declining.
Mm-hmm.
We're doing better than a lot of other papers across the country, but I'd be lying to you if I said it wasn't an issue. On the flip side, we just did a survey. We have a weekly free shopper that we send. We have a magazine that we put out. And we have the online product, the online stuff. And that's more work for me because a lot of times when I'm covering a trial, I'll have to file something online at lunchtime and then file something else later in the day for print. So I'm filing more stories.
Ending deadline.
Yeah, I mean it's sort of like TV and radio now. You're just rolling. You know, you have a rolling deadline with anything. You know, we bring laptops to events and that kind of thing. But what we found with the last survey that we did is actually more people are accessing us now because we have so many different, they call them platforms in the business. They're actually, you know, just different products that we have. More people are actually, you know, looking at the Poughkeepsie Journal in one form or another than when our circulation was higher. So, I mean, and I don't see my job as any different. And I always tell people they can't really outsource me because somebody from India can't cover the courthouse. You know, I'm safe. And my job is essentially the same. And whether it's electronic, and my kids never read newspapers, but they read newspapers online, and so I don't see any real difference. I don't see that you know, to say the newspapers are declining is to say that the print product is declining. But I don't think our readership is going down. I don't think people's interest in local news is going down. But you know, all businesses are having, you know, difficult economic times now. So yeah, I think we will see fewer actually printed newspapers in the future, but I think people will still read the news.
I don't know. I'm an old-fashioned kind of guy. I like to feel the
right.
Goods.
Anybody over 50
reading things on screens.
Anybody over 50 has that hang up, and I do too. I read newspapers. I read the Times. I go buy the New York Times and read it. I don't pop online.
The other great change, those of us who grew up, you know, with depictions of newspapermen in movies and on television, always have the idea that there's this clicker clatter of all the typewriters,
the
and somebody saying,
like,
"Copy boy, bring this right up," and then the editor, the gruff editor, says, "Harry, hold page one." If you go into the newsroom of the Poughkeepsie Journal, it's very, very quiet, like a church. It's all just everyone clicking
on the computer.
We're all on our Macs now.
No teletype anymore. No Reuters teletype.
Yeah, there was a teletype when I started at the Journal.
Yeah,
I had a teletype.
Ding, ding, ding.
Yeah, my first job at the paper was when I was on the sports department. I had to be there at 5 in the morning. We were an afternoon paper. I had to get the sports pages out by 7 in the morning. And the first thing I had to go do was rip that wire copy off that machine. That was the first sound I heard every morning at 5 o'clock was that machine.
The other concern I have about journalism is that, you know, you're a trained, experienced, respected reporter, universally recognized as one of the great reporters in the Hudson Valley. But now with these blogs and the tweets and all this other stuff, anybody can set themselves up to report what they think is the news. Well, is it out of control, Larry Hertz? From
it disturbs me, and I think it's, you know, there's nothing we can do about it. I was sort of reminded of one time somebody asked Vince McMahon, who runs professional wrestling, you know, how many people, what percentage of your population do you thinks wrestling is real? And Vince thought for a minute. He said, well, about 5%, and there's nothing you can do about those people. So there's always going to be people who are going to believe whatever they read. Now there's so many more opportunities for that. So it is disturbing. But I think in the long run, if you are a credible, if you put out a credible product and you're reliable, and in the long run people find out these guys were wrong and you were right, you analyze it and you nailed the story and somebody else hasn't, I don't mind competing against those guys that don't know what they're doing. That's not, you know, competing against other guys that know what they're doing. I really loved competing against, there were some reporters at the Middletown Record that I really respected. And I always liked when we covered a trial together, because it was really fun to see if I could do a better job on that story.
Well, you bring up an interesting issue. Old courtroom hands, whether they're police officers, prosecutors, defense attorneys, court officers, or like yourself, experienced journalists who cover the crime beat all the time, they'll sit there when the jury goes out on a trial, and they'll start not making bets because betting's illegal, of course, but maybe a little coffee bet. What do you think? You think they're going to come back guilty, not guilty, on how many counts? Have you ever really guessed wrong on a trial?
All the time.
You can't control the jury.
The one thing I've learned about juries is, and I'm sure every prosecutor will tell you this, you just don't know. And then you find out sometimes later the way the jury's deliberated. There was one case I covered. It was a double murder in front of about 80 witnesses in the city of Poughkeepsie. And these two guys, everybody had essentially corroborated everybody else that they had done this. There was very little doubt about it. And they were eventually, it was 4 days of deliberation, and we're all sitting there, what are they talking about? What could they possibly have to debate? Where is the reasonable doubt here?
Yeah.
We hadn't seen it in the trial. And the defense attorney talked to the jurors afterwards, and the first vote they had when they voted the first time was 8-4 to acquit these people. And then eventually they were found guilty. So I don't know. Group dynamics of a jury, there's some strong personalities and weak personalities in a jury, then some people can be swayed. And, you know, that's one thing I've never been party to. Obviously, I get kicked off every jury pool I'm ever ever asked to be on. As soon as they find out who I am.
What you do. Yeah.
They throw me off. So I'd love to be on a jury sometime just to do that. I was almost on one for a civil case. But the attorney general was involved in it, and because I had just covered the election of that attorney general, they
that was a little I would think that you would be omitted from that. Reminds me of that John Cusack movie Runaway Jury.
That was a great flick where one man was able to sway
the entire room. Yeah. And P.S. filmed in New Orleans, and when we were down for the international conference earlier this year, Jonah, of course, I had to have dinner at Arno's where they filmed a lot of that flick. But in the little time we have left, Larry, what is the most memorable case that you've ever covered?
Boy, there's a lot of them.
Well, pick one.
Memorable. I guess probably Kendall Francois, because how sad it was. He was a Poughkeepsie resident who murdered 8 prostitutes. And it was because prostitutes don't have support groups, they don't have support systems, and they don't have families very often. These women were being knocked off, and there was really no publicity about it. You know, it was like they were going missing, and nobody cared about them.
Mm-hmm.
And ultimately,
the invisible people, referred to them as.
And so when they finally got this guy, and the horror of what he had done and how he had buried the bodies in his own house, and just the horror of the whole thing, and just that evil that he would, that this was something
to another human being,
over and over again that he did this. I remember that
stuck with you.
Yeah, that's the one that sticks with me.
Okay.
Well, Larry Hertz, thank you so much for joining us on Radio Rotary. Thank you for keeping the Hudson Valley informed about what's happening in our courts, and we look forward to having you back sometime.
It was great to be here, Jonathan.
And
thank
tell
you.
Us, Sarah, who do we have to thank for bringing us Radio Rotary this week?
Well, Jonah, Radio Rotary this week is sponsored by Rotary International, Rotary District 7210, and the Rotary Clubs of Millbrook, Newburgh, New Paltz, North Rockland, Pleasant Valley, Port Jervis, Red Hook, Rhinebeck, and Southern Ulster.
For Sarah O'Connell, this is Jonah Trebwasser. Thank you for tuning in and inviting you to join us again next week at 9 for another edition of Radio Rotary right here on Hudson Valley Talk Radio.